Hello and welcome to Interactive Attractions.
Hey, yo, what? You the boss of this show?
I am the boss of this show.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I run shit.
I'm recording here.
Step aside.
My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I am here with Jeff Torney.
What up, guys?
Who apparently is a New Yorker now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much. Stop in Jamaica, right?
Went to Jamaican Town, spent most of our time there.
And Travis Baum.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, mate.
This is episode 230, and later on we're going to be talking about consoles that are being sold cheap with a monthly contract.
Subscriptions.
We're going to get to that. It was confirmed, so we're going to talk more about Xbox and what they're doing, and hopefully get into that a little bit. Before that, we'll do distractions and a little bit of news, not a whole lot. And then afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that, Jeff, how was your trip, buddy?
Hey, it was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Went out to New York on, we left on Saturday night, 10 o'clock at night, and got into New York at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. So that part kind of sucked, because of course the plan of always is we'll sleep on the bus, but I could not sleep on the bus. I might have gotten an hour of sleep, maybe an hour. It wasn't because it was like loud or anything, or it was just that. And we were actually meeting Glenn Kilnine and his girlfriend Chelsea there like on Sunday, so I knew that once we got there, it's not like we could like take a quick nap or relax a bit. It was basically once we got there, got to the place, drop off our stuff, and basically head out. So because that was in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, God, I need to sleep. So, of course, I wasn't able to sleep that well. But
yeah.
And it is cramped seating, of course, but whatever. I did find out, though, fuck, I'm a lot more flexible than I thought I was in trying to find comfortable ways to sleep. That's for sure. I could wake up in really weird-ass positions and be like, what the fuck? And, yeah, like, how did I'm 6'2" in this, like 2 feet by, like, 2 feet of, like, space, leg space. And but, yeah, I was okay. But, man, I like that. Have you guys ever been there?
To what, New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course I have. Oh, I've been everywhere.
I'm kind of from there, dumbass.
I loved it, man. It was totally not what I was expecting at all. Like, you hear New York City, you hear kind of like dirty and kind of scary and like...
It's really
dogs
not.
Dogs barking everywhere.
It's
oh,
really
wait,
not.
That's Toronto. That's... I'm not sure you can hear that.
If you go to Queens, maybe, or like the bad part of Queens or something like that.
And we didn't, that's actually one of the boroughs we didn't make it to Queens, and we didn't make it to the Bronx. I think those were, and Staten Island. So we were staying in Manhattan by Times Square, which is fucking holy people. I've never seen so many people in my entire life.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
For like a Sunday or even like a Monday or Tuesday, I was like, wow.
I was there on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That sucked.
That would have been ridiculous.
Sucked.
That's, yeah, because I was like, wow, I thought Toronto had a lot of people and was big. No, like, New York City eats Toronto for breakfast in every way, shape, or form in terms of size and amount of people. But, no, it was a lot of fun. Like, we walked around at nighttime. We went, like, a bunch of different places. Never once felt like we were in danger or should be, like, looking after a wall instead of Tony's purse, whatever. It's very safe, very clean. I mean, the people, you can tell the local people there kind of, they probably get sick of the tourists, I'm guessing.
Right, right.
They're kind of, especially a lot of people that work in the service industry aren't exactly, like, for the majority, they're kind of pretty bad service everywhere we went, except for a couple places. But we're like, eh, whatever. You know, it's New York. It's kind of, like, got a reputation for that, but it wasn't too bad.
I heard some of the best places for customer service were, like, the smaller diners and stuff.
I'm sure, yeah. We went to a couple small places. Those were definitely better. Like, definitely some of the touristy places were kind of like, they don't give a fuck, just serve you and get you out, and they get more people in there or whatever. Mm. And, like, but, yeah. But the first day, the Sunday, of course, running on no sleep, we met up with Chelsea and Glenn, and we just kind of, like, walked around, went to some of the shops, and ended up going to like a Jackass's for some pints while we waited for the girls to do their shopping at the Hello Kitty store or whatever it was they went to.
Are you dating 8-year-olds?
I couldn't believe they had an actual store dedicated to Hello Kitty. It was pretty crazy. And purely adults in there. I don't think I saw one kid in there, which is ironic. But yeah, so after that, we actually met up with Robbie and Adventurine.
Cool.
Of course, you guys met Adventure in Indisfest last year,
yep,
David. Yeah. And then Robbie's exactly like he is on Twitter.
What is he walking around the street winning shit all over
winning
the place?
Winning shit everywhere. Everywhere you got people like handing him PS3s and stuff. Like, hey, you were the 1 millionth customer to walk by us. Here's a new car. But no, that was fun. So Robbie actually took us around. We actually walked across the Brooklyn Bridge down to Brooklyn, and he took us to this place where this pizza place where I guess he lived in the area is like kind of deep in Brooklyn. It was quite the trek, that's for sure. It was a couple subways, and then we had to walk. Which felt like forever, especially being at like 7 o'clock at night or something, or 6 o'clock, and Tony and I are already been out for 24 hours. But really good pizza, and we ended up going to a place called Next Level. And not sure if you guys know what that is, but that's like the main arcade place that the fighting game community in New York goes to play like fighting games and stuff like that. That was also not like I expected at all.
It's like small, right? Like
It's tiny. We expected like a Battle and Brew type place, like an arcade with like maybe some couches and like chairs and stuff, and maybe even like a bar. But it's not. It's first of all, it's in the middle of like a kind of like a Chinatown-ish place. Like it's a very heavily Asian community, and it's kind of like it's really out in the middle of nowhere. It's not anywhere close to any of the main areas. And we went in there. It's basically a bunch of TVs hooked up to 360s. With all the games like copied on the hard drive, basically, and then they have a couple cabinets. They had a Street Fighter 4 cabinet, and they had like a couple like everything. There's fighting games. It's all fighting games. Like that's all it is. And there's only like 8 people in there because I know there was a main tournament going on this past weekend. But we still went in there. We rented a couple sticks, and then me and Glenn played a few matches of Street Fighter Cross Tekken and Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, and then kind of left because I mean Robbie and David weren't really playing anything, and then of course the girls were just kind of sitting there like, "How long?"
Yeah, but they were having a ball. I gotta stay home.
Exactly. Plus, this time we were dead tired, so we played for a bit. But it was kind of like a rundown, hole in the wall type place. But I'm sure it would have been pretty happening if there's like more people there and stuff. And if we did it maybe earlier in the day, it would have been kind of cool. But I like to say, like, you know, I went there, I played a couple games there, and it was a good time. It was kind of cool. I still wish there was places like that like around Toronto or something. But I was expecting something more like Battle and Brew, but it wasn't like that at all.
But there is nothing like Battle and Brew.
No, there's not at all.
At least not until we open our own.
Exactly. Then, yeah, we just did, you know, sightseeing shit. Like, the next day, of course, Glenn and stuff went home that night. And the next couple days were just me and Tanya, and we did some bar hopping on Saturday, I keep thinking it's Saturday because it was actually Monday, but that was fun. Went to a bunch of different like pubs and stuff. Like, oh my god, dude, everything's so expensive there. That's kind of a bitch ass, especially if you're like in Times Square or around that area. We went to one bar, kind of close to that strip area, and we bought 2 drinks. I had like a double vodka and something, and Tony had like a rum and coke.
Like 15 bucks.
28.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I went up there. I'm like, I'll have a double vodka cranberry and rum and coke. And so I pull out a 20, and he's like, that'll be $26 or $27. And I was like, excuse me? He's like, $27. I was like, okay. Then I go to tell him, like, we're not having another drink here. And then we walked around and found like another like nice Irish pub that was actually pretty happening and played really good music. Went in there, and it was kind of normal prices in there. So that was cool.
Was he serving you top shelf? Or something
no,
like
no, no. It was just I said just you know regular Smirnoff, whatever, man. Like not, nope. There was two actually.
If you
two
didn't
bars
specify.
Really
he probably went right to the top shelf.
Well, usually they
that's what they're
do
supposed
that,
to
but,
do. If you don't.
Well,
specify.
No, they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to go to the lower shelf unless you specify. But who knows what they do there? Like I don't know.
We're talking New York here.
But even if that was top shelf, that's then I would say that's cheap for vodka. Because top shelf for vodka, you can want more money than that.
You could totally buy a fifth of Smirnoff for $27.
Oh yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah,
I think it's like 22.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It really blew me away, and me and Ty had such a good time. We want to go back again, maybe next year or something like that, because there's so much to do there. We did so much in 3 days. It feel like there's so much we didn't do. Like we didn't go to see like a Broadway show, or we didn't do too much of that kind of stuff. We did mostly just kind of like walking around and taking the tour bus around, getting off like Central Park and. We actually went down, took a tour through like a little bit of Harlem and stuff through there and like that kind of thing. And it was, that was a little bit different. We didn't get off at Harlem, but we definitely took because the tour bus doesn't go right. It goes down by the Apollo Theater, kind of like that area. It didn't look that bad, but I'm sure if you go really deep into Harlem, they're like, because the tour guides are pretty honest. They're like, well, pretty much everywhere in New York, you're safe. But I mean, Harlem, you don't want to be around certain areas at nighttime and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's, you know, as long as you stay in this certain area. But yeah, I was surprised. It's fucking huge. Totally.
Did you guys go to the new Trade Center?
Yes, we did. We did go to the new Trade Center.
The Freedom Tower?
No, it's the Freedom One Tower. World Trade Center.
It's it's the Freedom Tower as well. They call it.
They call it.
Yeah, it's called both. We went to actually go to Ground Zero, but we couldn't tell if they were charging people to do it because it's all gated off now. And it said you had to make reservations on a website and you had to come and bring your ID and everything. It's for security reasons. So, because the first day we all went down to do that, but then we're like, well, screw this. But they're trying to capitalize and actually make money. Like, it's one thing to be like, we'll take donations and let you in. It's another thing to be like, you have to actually pay money and register early and stuff to go. So we're like, yeah, well, we won't bother with that then. So we just went down to the new one and checked that out. And it looks pretty cool. But, yeah, you know, looked at the Statue of Liberty, didn't go to it and stuff like that. And I can go on forever. I had such a great time and stuff like that, but I won't bore everybody. But it might be my favorite city I've ever been to.
Wow.
And, like, cool. Outside of Toronto. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Outside of, like, the price and everything, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, prices can get pretty ridiculous. Oh, but, you know, it's a great city to go to, that's for sure.
I don't know how people survive there, and like, if you're not making a shitload of money. Also, there's no grocery stores anywhere.
You don't survive in Manhattan. It just doesn't happen. Unless you, like, make...
A millionaire?
Unless you make six figures, and you can afford, like, a loft. just doesn't happen.
To put it into perspective, like, we didn't stay at a hotel. We did something called an air bed and breakfast. So it's basically somebody who rents out a room of their apartment to guests. So I guess this one girl owned it or rented it, and it's a 3-bedroom. So we had one of the bedrooms, and I think it was about $150 a night, which is a lot cheaper than to get a hotel. And we figured, well, we might as well try it out because we're not going to be in our hotel at all, so we're just going to sleep there. And she was really nice. She's probably, I'm guessing, in her mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s. I don't know. I can't tell age.
Was she hot?
Being this old. Well, she wasn't ugly or anything like that. She was, and also the another room she was renting out to another family from Singapore. It was the mother and father, then their daughter and son were probably in their early 20s. But I talked to them like the last night because we didn't really see each other, but they were really cool people. They were like, one of them was graduating from Pennsylvania, so they decided to go to New York for a bit, and they're kind of cool. But she was saying that she always has people in there. And so at that price, like, she can get, just for renting one room, up to, like, $4,500 a month just from that.
Ooh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I bet you that probably doesn't even cover her rent for that place, because her place was pretty – it was right down – like, right in Manhattan, about 3 blocks from Times Square, and, like, 3 bedrooms, like, kind of, like – kind of open concept, but not really. But it was, yeah. I'm like, wow. I'm like,
That's pretty baller. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I can see why she does this because I don't know how anyone would ever be able to afford this otherwise. Because it's just ridiculous.
So how did you get in and out? Like, she gave you a key to her apartment.
Yep,
like,
she has a key to the apartment and basically just said, have fun. Like, there's no strict rules, nothing like that, except for, of course, no bringing people back and partying or anything like that. So we made sure if we were going to get drunk, we got drunk and then came back to go to bed. But it wasn't like, but no, she was totally cool. I'm like, I couldn't do that. I could never do that because that'd be like having like new roommates every week and you don't know who the hell you're going to get, right?
Yeah, it's true. So, running a business. You're running a little hotel, a mini hotel.
That's basically what you're doing. Yeah, we had access to all of her amenities and stuff. We wanted to use them. We never really used them at all, but except for the bathroom.
And she probably gets that shit like all under the counter. I wonder if she registers
it's registered with the site. The site's called Airbnb, so she registers through that, and it all goes through there. So it's all I'm not sure if she gets – she probably does get taxed on it.
Okay.
She probably has to have, like, a business license and everything for that.
Exactly, because I know it's illegal now to do it in New York where, like, say she left for a month, she couldn't sublet it to somebody for, like, a month. Be like, hey, I'm going to rent out my apartment for whatever, because that's illegal. So I'm guessing there's some kind of stipulation of what she's doing, But yeah, but I don't know what she does because she definitely didn't go to work the days we were there. So, and I think she's like some kind of designer. She had like those mannequin type things in her, like designer type mannequin things with like clothes stuff hanging off them. And it was very kind of artsy part. No TV in the place, but really nice furniture and nice everything else. So I was like, wow. But yeah, it was fun, man. I can't talk more highly about New York, and I totally went into it thinking like, oh God, I can either love or hate this place, but totally.
I'll tell you what, you're the exact opposite of Crystal right now because her only experience of New York was New Year's, and it was the worst.
It was the only one. How long ago was that?
It was before we got married. I think it was 2008.
So it was after they cleaned up the city and everything. After it was like,
oh yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah, I mean, they still had all of, like Ground Zero was still completely blocked off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could tell that they were making progress, you know, with, I think it was already cleaned up and they were in the process of starting to build the actual memorial area. But yeah, I mean, it's like Times Square was like, we had to be like 20 blocks away from the actual Times Square.
Yeah.
And it was still like body to body with people.
Oh yeah. I couldn't believe it. Just walking around Monday night being like after one of the tours, it was probably about 10 o'clock or something. And we're like, well, let's go grab a couple of drinks somewhere. And just walking around, I was like, I can't believe how many people are out right now. And at first I thought, okay, it's all tourists. I'm sure a lot of it is, but one of the pubs we found, the people inside of it weren't acting like tourists. You could tell, like, some of them were coming in and giving each other high fives, and, like, they knew each other. So it was kind of like more of a, like, everyone in there was kind of, like, local. Like,
where,
you know, coming after work,
knows
whatever.
Your name.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I was like, I can't, it's a fucking Monday night. And, yeah. You know, at this point, it's almost like 11 or 12. Because I think we stayed out until about 1 o'clock or something like that on the Monday night. And we were like, wow, I can't believe it. And then, coming back to Toronto yesterday, we got off the bus and we're like, this place is a ghost town compared to New York. So this is ridiculous. And we walked by Dundas Square, which is our Times Square, and it's like, there's like no one around. I'm like, wow, this is, I literally, like you said, I feel like a hick. Like a hick town or something like that. Or you didn't say, actually, I think my dad said that. He's like, yeah, I feel like hicks. But yeah, but I do want to throw out a shout out to Robbie and Adventuring, to David, because they definitely showed us some parts of New York we never would have seen if we didn't meet up with them. They're really cool. And apologize for being really, really tired, but that's just the way, I guess, the schedules went. Everyone could meet up on Sunday. And also, again, thanks to Glenn and Chelsea for coming down. So that made the first day a lot easier to swallow, you know, being like, it gave us a little good, like, I guess, buffer of where stuff was in the city and what there was doing and what it was like. So kind of opened it up for us for the next 2 days. But anyway, enough about that shit, because I could, yeah, cool. What about you guys? Travis.
Travis, aside from being jealous that I was not in New York the entire week, aside from that, nothing. I think I'm getting sick.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm hoping not. So, but other than that, no, nothing. Chris.
All right. Well then. So I didn't mention this last week, but I started doing Insanity, the actual workout program.
Yeah.
And I think this is the second week. So today was day. Okay. 10?
Okay.
I think it was 10, yeah.
Two rest days?
I believe you.
Yeah, with one. Yeah, Sunday was a rest day, and that was it so far. But, man, it's friggin' tough workout. I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah, it's insanity, dude.
It is, and, I mean, I did 3 months of P90X, and this is actually harder than P90X.
Oh, it's way harder.
Yeah, actually. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like he does a good job of you know, giving you a workout without needing any weights or anything. And you know, you get that strength workout, especially in your legs. I mean, that's the one complaint I would have is that I don't feel like it's done a whole lot upper body wise.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, there's like one workout that's like, all right, we're going to do a lot of push-ups and then you do like two or three sets of dips. And that is the extent of the upper body workout. So, yeah. You know, it's mostly legs and cardio and that kind of thing. And, but yeah, I mean, it's good because I've got, you know, I'm doing it with other people, so I actually have the motivation to get my ass out of bed and go do it, you know, because they're waiting on me, so I can't.
Yeah,
you need
that shit.
I do. Yeah. I absolutely do, because I am a lazy fuck, and I'll just sit in bed, and my alarm will go off, and I'll be like, fuck you, and I'll turn it off, and I'll go back to sleep,
yeah.
You know, so, but you know, so far, it's, you know, we're around 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, and it's been going well so far. Last week was really rough because, you know, I did the Amplified Gamers on Wednesday and I did our show on Thursday, and both days I was up until about 12:30.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 5 a.m. to go work out, and it was painful.
Well, that won't happen tonight. We'll get off at a good time.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that tonight. With that, I'm not sure if this has anything to do with it, but you know, Crystal and I have actually been talking about it because just unusual behavior from Liam to the point where, like, the other day, I was leaving for work.
Penis. Oh, no, that was another time.
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Well, you got about 15 years on me for that.
The other day, I was leaving for work, and I said, you know, I always go up, and I said, Liam, Daddy's got to go bye-bye, give me a kiss. And And he just exploded at me and just started crying and wanted to get away from me as much as he could. And he just did not want me to leave. And
was it just after Insanity and you're all sweaty and gross? And
yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because I go straight from Insanity to work. I don't shower or anything. You know, I want to drive my entire team nuts with my stench.
I'm joking.
But yeah, and she's like, she told me that like in the past week or so that he's been asking a lot, what's daddy doing? What's daddy doing? And you know, so it's been rough, with that, because I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that I'm waking up early and leaving. Cause you know, it's a good half an hour that he doesn't get to spend with me now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to give it a couple more weeks and see what happens. And if it really starts taking a toll, I'm going to have to stop because I can't punish my son to get a workout. It just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. I think that's about it. I had a really weird dream yesterday, and this is relevant because it had to do with like my dog escaping from my backyard, and I went and I got my dog, and I looked at the ground, and I noticed that it was
gone.
Like a computer texture.
Okay.
I was like, wow, this computer texture.
Like a bad one?
Or yes, like... it was a bad texture. The ground that I was laying on after catching
like
my dog.
N64 shit?
Yes, it was like N64 crappy textures. And I don't know why I decided to say that on the podcast. I just
what
woke
it,
up.
But it was. I know exactly what it was, and it'll go directly into my distractions. It was you
Minecraft.
Thinking that you were in Minecraft. Exactly. That's the Lord's way of saying that you should be playing Minecraft right now.
No,
so have you
not.
Been playing Minecraft?
I have been playing Minecraft. And
so is this your one time you're going to mention Minecraft on 360, and then we're not going to hear of it again? When somehow you're going to be like, I play that shit all the time.
Yeah. I'm having fun. It's good. Me and Aces are going to get together and make a world. We're going to make a world together.
Which is only like an eighth of the size of the PC world, because apparently there's a lot of limitations on the 360 one.
Yeah, not a big deal. It's
still
Minecraft. It's
probably still huge.
Yeah, it's still Minecraft.
Sure it is,
yeah, it's cool. I mean, aside, you know, messing with the inventory aside, it's all normal Minecraft to me. I think in a way, I mean, I know the graphics are what they are, but I think the game this looks better on a high definition screen. It just looks more lively. It's just easier to play. Playing it on
the pixels are more giant.
Yeah, the pixels are more giant. No, but playing on the Xbox 360 controller just feels right. The only time it becomes problematic is when, you know, you're going through the inventory system and you have to use your left stick as kind of like a mouse and you're trying to point cursor and click this box and go there. So that can get a little clunky there. But once you have everything in your main toolbar, like your quick bar, it's really easy just to shift through with the bumpers or triggers and pick what you want to use or mine or whatever. So it's cool there. I'm enjoying that. What I do like about it though, they do make it a little more, for people who want to be a little more casual with the game and don't want to play, because when you're on PC, you got to play the game kind of hardcore, because like you don't necessarily, you kind of have to have a wiki with you at all times, because you have to know, you know, depending on like if you're using, you know, if you're crafting things and you have like the whole, you know, the 3x3 box and you're trying to like mine stuff, like if you make a pickaxe, you actually have to use specific ingredients to make a specific shape, and you have to know what shape to make and what specific ingredients to use, and it can like get a little overwhelming at sometimes. And in the 360 version, there's a full-out menu. And the menu just it has everything listed of what you can make in the entire game.
Oh, and you can, what you need to do.
Exactly. You scroll over it. Okay. Do you have it? Yes. Just hit A. Boom. You made it. If you have it. If you don't, the ingredients box shows up red saying that you need to find this ingredient
that's
still. And
cool.
That's so much better. So I think it's the best addition they could have done in Minecraft. I haven't played Minecraft on PC.
So it makes it slightly less boring.
Slightly less boring, yeah.
Less
tedious.
Because
you don't have to sit there and just like place things in a box. It's all there for you, which is really cool. So yeah, playing that. Did I talk about finishing Witcher 2 yet?
Yes.
You did. No, I don't think you talked about finishing it, did you?
Not finishing it.
I think you talked about that last week. You said you finished it in like 2 or 3 days.
Did I mention my comparison
to
Mass Effect?
He did talk about it, but it was in an email. It wasn't in. It wasn't on
the
show.
Okay. So, anyway,
so I told
him,
like, what? You beat it in like 20 hours. I'm like, you must have done like no side shit.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I finished that Witcher tape, and it.
Witcher tape.
Okay. It was so good. I'll tell you
awesome.
Right now. It was so damn good that I liked Witcher 2 better than Mass Effect 3.
You said that last week on the show.
I did say that last week. Yeah, no, I didn't say it last week.
No, he said it. I'm pretty positive it was an email, dude.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah, that was an email.
Maybe I'm mixing all of our shit out together.
I think you're mixing it up because I'm pretty sure he didn't talk about this last week. As far as I know.
No, I didn't talk about it last
week. You guys are going to hate me because I haven't played that game at all this week.
Dude, really? You're a dick.
I just haven't. I can't get into it.
Chris?
Okay, I got to ask you, Travis. Like, maybe they changed this for the console, but how did you feel? Because I didn't beat the game because I got stuck at a boss fight towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And are we past the statute of limitation? Like, it's not what I say the boss is isn't going to give away anything spoilers.
Well, let's see what it is. Like, what is it? Not who it is, but what is it?
It's a dragon.
You fight a dragon.
Yeah, towards the end. Now, how did
a medieval fantasy game where you fight
exactly.
a dragon?
That's what
I never would have guessed.
It's not going to be at all spoilers.
Complete
spoiler.
It's
not even the last boss. Right. But when you fought that, did you have a hard time?
No.
Not at all?
It's pretty simple.
Really? Because I know I fucking had a really hard time. I know Tom from Metal Fight Gamers, he had a hard time too. Like, it took him a good, like, 40 mm-hmm. minutes or 30 minutes to beat. So I'm wondering if they changed that at all. Because I just got sick and tired of trying to beat that thing. Like,
download Enhanced Edition, man, and go back and play it and see if you can get through it.
I'm just going to probably buy it on 360.
I have other issues that are keeping me from playing it. And a lot of it has to do with my colorblindness, believe it or not. Because
really?
I am having, like, the area that I'm in, I'm still in that, like, first main town after you leave the castle.
Right.
And a lot of that area, it's like everything just seems to blend together. And there are times when I just cannot distinguish shit in the world. And I'm just hoping that color palette isn't what's used the entire game.
It's not.
No. Okay,
so I just need to push through this,
and it's going to get better.
Yeah,
every new area
looks
totally different.
Yeah, whole new color schemes and everything.
Okay.
And there's a simple solution to this, Chris.
What? Don't be colorblind?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get on that. I tell you what.
If you could find out a way to
stop me from being colorblind, you let me know.
Chris, okay? there is a procedure where they put lasers in your face and it makes your bad eyesight turn good. I can guarantee they can put color back in your game.
I can guarantee you you're wrong.
Holy shit, Chris.
Because I looked at it.
I got an idea.
Okay, play it on a black and white TV.
On your TV, there's a color setting.
Oh,
you need to crank that bitch up.
I am not going to fuck up the color on my TV to play
that's
one
what's
game.
Wrong. That's what's wrong. You've been playing black and
no,
white
but it's
the
like,
entire time.
It's like when enemies drop like loot bags. I can't even see the loot bags against the backdrop.
Okay, that's not you. That's just the game.
Oh,
yeah. I know. I had problems with that too. Sometimes when I was playing on PC, I was like, "What is there? I can't even see the loot." But I was like, "Oh, there it is." You kind of have to really look.
Yeah, I ended up using the necklace that he's got.
Yeah,
pulses out.
Glows
that's
it,
what I ended up doing.
Oh, Travis, did you not do a lot of side mission stuff then?
I thought I did a lot.
And you beat it in like 20 hours?
Yeah, it wasn't like 20 hours. I mean, it was more, but I mean. It still took me a while to beat it, even though you got to remember I took 2 days off after the game came out to play that game, and that was my goal to do nothing but sit. I waited over a year to play this game.
You probably did more than 20 then, because I was like, I'm trying to say I was probably around 25 and I didn't beat it, but I did not a lot of side stuff, but quite a bit, because I thought the side stuff in that game was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all grade A stuff, man. There wasn't one mission in there where I was like...
They're not repetitive at all.
I mean, for the most part, it was all really substantial, but the cool thing about those side missions is you don't realize how much cool things can happen coming out of those side missions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what else is
pieces,
getting you,
little extra relationships, all that stuff pops up from those side missions. It's neat.
I think one of the side missions is another one of the reasons that I haven't gone back to the game, because I'm doing the side mission with the troll.
I was just going
to And I cannot find the person I need to talk to. Or it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you know, there might be...
Are you looking in a head hanging in a house,
and I'm like, I got to check all these fucking houses.
Are you looking in the big city, or are you looking at the little small slum? It's in the slum.
It's in the slum?
Because that's one where you got to beat the guy in dice, right, to get it?
I haven't gotten that far.
You don't have to, but that's one of the options you can do. That's a thing. You can do so many different ways.
Yes, you can beat him nice.
Yeah, you can go to some part where you have to get that person. You see it there. Like, you'll see it right when you walk into the guy's house. It's, like, right there. It's, like, you can see it. Like, ooh.
Yeah. But this is one of those games that kind of breaks away some of the conventions that role-playing games do. Because this game, even when you're doing a side quest, it'll make you do side shit for the side quest.
For the side quest,
One specifically, like, you have to go in there and talk to a guy, and you want to get something from him for that troll quest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I'll play in a game of dice for it. Now, you can choose to do the dice game, but if you do the dice game, he's going to come out and say, well, I'm not going to play dice with just anybody. You go around play some dice with other people.
You
got
to beat these guys first.
And if I hear you're good, then I'll play. Then, like, oh, shit, now I got to go
and
do something.
Can I just stab the fucker and take what I want?
You can do other things and you can get it right away. Yeah. You can do other things, though, because I did it. And
I did it the dice playing way. So I'd like to know how you did it, Chaz. But I did it the dice playing way. That's how I did it.
Right.
Well, but yeah, you do fight it in the outskirts of the city. It's not in the city. The guy who has is like on the outskirts in like the tree area kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll help. I'll go back probably tomorrow and play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so still finishing that game, even in retrospect, you know, the recency factor has left and everything. So I'm long past Witcher 2, but still to this time, man. I mean, it's higher on my game of the year list than Mass Effect 3.
It's refreshing. It's very, like, I don't know. It's done really well. I usually don't like those type of games, and I played the shit out of it for a while until I got stuck. But
right,
I mean,
so. Yeah. So yeah, so it's Witcher 2, Minecraft, and then I played a demo that kind of blew me away. This game was not on my radar one bit, but I downloaded the Spec Ops: The Line demo.
Oh, is it good?
And, dude, that game is fucking good. I'm telling you what, that's probably one of the best controlling third person shooters that I've ever played.
I'm glad, because I was in the beta for that, and it was under like embargo, and I couldn't tell. I'm sure now I don't give a shit, because it was like over a year ago. That game was a piece of shit.
Really?
But it was multiplayer only, and it was like, it was before they basically said, okay, well, you know what, we're putting this in the back burner, we're just basically redesigning the entire game.
Right.
So that was probably a good idea.
Yeah, and the worst part of the demo is just something that a lot of games are, especially a lot of games that are not big AAA titles and everything, that are in this military shooter genre, whereas like the main character, like this is supposed to be a very character and story driven game, but the main character is like, you know, top shot, army grunt, you know, generic Mr. X voiced by Nolan North. Like, it's literally that. So that, I think that's the biggest shortcoming of the game. Maybe he develops more as the story goes on.
It actually is Nolan North, though.
It is literally Nolan North, yeah.
That's funny.
And there's parts where he's like hanging from ledges and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like,
no,
it's
same shit,
complete Drake. It's complete Drake. But the game, they give you it's a long demo too. It's about 25-30 minutes of a demo. It was pretty lengthy. What's that?
It's single player demo?
Yeah, single player demo. Single player. I'm really interested in this game. A, the gameplay is top notch. Like I said, best controlling third person game I've played in a long time. If at all. I mean, it was really, really good. And then the story of what they gave you so far is just really, really intriguing, so I definitely want to jump back into this game when it does release and find out what's going on. Got a lot of like an Apocalypse Now type feel to it, whereas you know, the army had sent this general and his unit to go hold down this area, which in this game is Dubai.
It's Dubai, right?
Yeah, they get torn up to shit by like sandstorm, so the city's like destroyed. And that city looks gorgeous, by the way. It's a really good looking game. So the general somehow goes AWOL, and you're sent in to go deal with him, and unofficially you're sent to just go in and do some wet work and kill him, a la, you know, Martin Sheen versus Marlon Brando. It's literally Apocalypse Now with sand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it is. The game, it's cool. It's got a great aesthetic. I'm really excited about it. I mean, even the beginning of the game just really gets you kind of like, ooh, I'm interested in this automatically, because like the main screen, the main menu is like an overlook of Dubai, and there's like an American flag upside down, all torn up the shit, waving in the wind and the sand. And it's a Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner. It's awesome, man. It's great. It's really, really cool. So,
totally Apocalypse Now if it's fucking Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, right. So, if anybody is listening, man, if you like shooters in any capacity, first or third, definitely jump on it. I got a really big, like, SOCOM feel, like old school SOCOM, where SOCOM was controlling really, really well. Got a big feel off that, man. It's very, very fun game, so check it out. But that is it for me, Jeffrey.
I have played absolutely nothing.
Nothing, yeah. I bet you wish you had a Vita.
That's actually, I almost bought one, actually.
That would have been fucking hilarious. We would be just dogging on you this entire show for it.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, good job.
I literally had one in my hand.
And then he would dog on you.
I didn't spend all my spending money, because I honestly didn't buy a damn thing, except for these two humongous Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which I got to take a picture of. I really didn't buy anything, because I'm not like a souvenir type guy. Like, I'd rather buy something that I can't get here. And right now, our dollar is doing way better than yours is. So, like when I got my exchange
money... that's not hard these days, I don't think.
I know. Well, when I got my money, my U.S. money, I actually paid less for it. So I was like, oh, wow, that's weird. I'm paying you less money for more American money. So deals weren't exactly that great, because usually with electronics and stuff, it's cheaper there, but now it's kind of the same, so it doesn't really make more sense. Like, I make it a little tiny bit cheaper, not much. But I was like, well, I have this extra money, and... You know, I got this much money for this. Maybe I'll just get a Vita for the way home. And I actually had it in my hand. And I was like, but then hold on a second. I have to buy a game, and then a memory card, and that's going to make it way too much money. So I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And the entire way up, I had like gamer ADD. Like the first 3 hours, I was like really excited. So I'm like, I played a bunch of different games for like 10 minutes, like Symphony of the Night, Order of Ecclesia, like Final Fantasy 6 or 3 or whatever. Like I played a bunch of different games for like 10 minutes, but never a long time. And on the way home, like, okay, I'm going to try to play a game from beginning to end, and it never happened. I'm in the mood to play this, and I'd be like, Symphony of the Night was the game. I was like, I'm going to play Symphony of the Night. I've never beat the game. I'm just going to try to beat it beginning to end. Let's do this. And then about 15, 20 minutes in, I'm like, I've done this part of the game so many times. I'm just kind of bored of it, so I'm not going to bother. I think the most I played, me and Tanya played about an hour, not even, of Mario Kart DS.
Really?
Like, playing against each other.
You know, you like to fuck with me all the time and have all these, you know, let's do a poll, a little contest of when Travis is going to miss an episode, or when's Travis going to do this, let's make a bet if Travis does this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do it for you now, okay?
When's Jeff going to beat a game?
All you do in video games is play Street Fighter and half-ass other games.
The last couple of months, yeah, that's true.
So... I want to send it out to the listeners. I'll post it myself on Retroids.
when will Jeff beat a game?
What month? what month this year? I'm giving you some credit, Jeff. I'm actually saying you're going to beat a game this year.
I've beaten a lot of games this year. I just haven't beaten Mass Effect 3.
What game? Hold on. I'm going to spice this up because you can.
Because besides Mass Effect 3, I've beaten everything I've bought this year.
What? Like what?
Oh, except for Reckoning. I didn't beat Reckoning either.
Okay, well,
or Skyrim.
Yeah, you're not mentioning games.
But Skyrim was
defeated.
Skyrim was last year. I beat a lot of games last year.
And
I
beating
think
Jason
record.
In a match of Street Fighter does not count in the game. Let's put that out there. So you need.
I'm
to
trying get... to think what came out. I didn't beat Rayman either. Son of a bitch.
No, you did not.
Okay, actually, so you know what? You might be right. I don't think I've beaten
anything
this year. Here's the
deal. You have to beat the game within a month of its release, or it doesn't count. You can't go back and say, hey, I beat this other game. Like, Mass Effect won't count. The game
okay, so basically starting now, whatever game I get, like day one, I have a month to beat it.
You have a month to beat it.
I know what game it's going to be.
I think I know what game it's going to be, too, but it hasn't come out
for a while. Arcade games do not count.
It's not going to be an arcade game.
I'll go Darksiders, too, personally. But, okay.
Okay, so
is it a bet, or are you setting this up to the listeners?
Listeners, we'll do a contest or something like that.
We'll do the $20 gift card. Did that ever get sent out?
No, I still got to do that. Okay. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll get it there. I had a New York trip to save up for, man.
It's okay. I think I still owe Sigma Omega too.
You heard him say he didn't use any spending money, so he's got cash now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let that slide.
I only got U.S. though, but he's already sent Canadian. It's worth more. So,
so $22.
Actually, you know what? Sass Bob did send me Resistance 3. I just got that today. So maybe that. But I'm not a shooter.
That's a good game.
I know, I've heard it. So I heard it's the best of the series, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, so yeah, so the ground rules, within a month of release, Jeff has to be the game, and you
arcade
guys on the retro.
It's got to be retail release.
Hopefully this will be posted up, so whatever game he beats.
And arcade games don't count?
Arcade games do not count.
Okay, because I didn't beat, what's that game called? Cinemora, either. I really like that. Fuck, I suck this year.
I tell you the worst.
How do you have a higher achievement score than I do?
I'm looking at all my games. Well, because last year I beat a lot of shit. I'm looking at my games right now. I'm like, I beat that. But I'm like, oh, they're all last year.
It's that cross, shit. Man. That cross has got you.
I know, it does, man. It's got its hooks in. Fuck. Actually, I played a lot of Street Fighter Alpha on my PSP.
Oh, Jesus.
I did. I literally played that for like an hour and a bit, just like going through the arcade. That's the first game, too, when there's only like, what, there's like maybe 8 characters? I'm like, oh, man.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, man.
Jeff's killing me. Please give me something good.
Oh, shit. Let me see. What did I play this week? So I recently picked up Valkyria Chronicles 3. And I think I mentioned this a while back.
Yeah, you had it sent to you, right?
I did. I got it from Japan. I loaded it onto my hard drive, and I haven't put it on my Go yet. But, you know, I decided that if I'm going to play this game, you know, and Jeff mentioned it to me too, I need to beat 2 first. So I went back to Valkyria 2, and I think I have 2 missions left in November now. So I'm almost to the last chapter.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. So I've been doing like 1 mission a day, you know, and just in, with the time that I have, I just try and punch out 1 mission a day. Been doing that. I played some after being on Amplified Gamers last week. I broke out, I downloaded, Castlevania Chronicles on my PSP and nice. I started playing that. So that was a thing. What else did I play? I played a few other. That was a thing. Oh, you know what I played? I played, I started playing, Warhammer 40K Space Marine.
Oh, that's a fun game.
It is a fun game. God damn, that game is satisfying as hell, man.
Are you playing that on PC?
Yeah, I'm playing it on the PC. I got it it was on sale. Remember when it was on sale on Steam?
Yeah.
We were talking about it. It was like $18 or something like that. And yeah, I picked it up and I think I'm like 4 chapters in or something like that. I am really enjoying this game. It is a lot of fun.
I didn't beat that game.
Really? But, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about it on the show a while back when you know, and we did it on Industream when Jason was still with us. And, you know, it's just extremely, extremely satisfying. If you're into third-person shooters, I highly suggest checking it out because mm-hmm. it's a good quality, third-person shooter where you actually have melee elements and finishing moves that are super satisfying to watch. Like just shoving a chain sword into an orc's head. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Let's see. What else? More air mech. I played, what else did I play? I think that I think that might be it.
Did I talk about Walking Dead last week? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, no, Travis talked about it.
We all talked about, Yeah, I talked about it the week before last and Travis talked about it last week.
That's right. Yeah.
I think that might be it. I think that's it.
Hmm.
So it's actually been more Valkyria than anything because I'm back into it and the missions are getting harder and, you know, it's getting more interesting, but the biggest thing about it is like, by the time you get to the point where I am, there's like so much stuff you can do. It's hard to stay focused on the main storyline. And that's one of the reasons it's taken me so long. I think my clock's at 93 hours right now on Valkyria 2. So it's just a crazy amount of time spent on a PSP game.
I was happy I played my PSP this last week. I was like, yay, even only for a little bit.
Oh, did you play it?
That's what I played Symphony of the Night on.
Okay.
And Street Fighter Alpha.
Yeah, oh, I kind of started Symphony of the Night again, too.
Well, I almost bought
Ghost of Sparta. For the 7th time.
But I ended up not pulling the trigger for some reason.
On what now?
I don't know what it was. I almost bought Ghost of Sparta on the day we were leaving. I was like, I want to buy something for the trip home. And I had it in my hand. It was like $20. I'm like, I'm just not in the mood to play a war game.
Honestly, so. I think you're better off just getting Origins
the
collection.
HD one?
Yeah. I really think you're just better off that way.
True.
So, but I mean, didn't you play the Chains of Olympus?
I played Chains of Olympus.
Yeah. Okay. But that's it for me. So,
news.
Let's do some news. There's not a whole lot. Jeff, you want to do the first one?
Kind of disappointing in some ways, but not in others. But we're all looking forward to Bioshock Infinite. I think that was on all of our anticipated lists for 2012. That's been delayed to 2013, February-ish. So, I mean, Levine came out and said, well, we're doing it because we really want to do something spectacular, and we really want to make sure it's the best game we could possibly make. So you can't fault them for that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's like, hey, look at the price side. At least it's going to be on this console.
That's true.
That's right. That's unlike true. Beyond Good and Evil 2, which has now been reconfirmed for next-gen consoles, because they said, I like to make lovely games, and we just don't have enough power. So, yeah, Beyond Good and Evil 2 has been delayed until the next generation of consoles.
I found that surprising, because Beyond Good and Evil is a type of, at least the art style, was not something that would be like too graphic intensive at all
and,
the time.
And
it
the
was
thing
just
is, it's like, even the original game, which was a PS2 that gen, it still holds up pretty well, you know? It still looks good.
Because of the style.
Yeah.
But, you know, kudos. If that could be like a launch game, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. But they said that it was a very ambitious game and that they needed some more tech to achieve that ambition.
Yeah, so. I honestly don't know if I'm buying that. I think they're just delaying it. They're just teasing us.
That could be true.
When I think of Beyond Good and Evil, I don't think crazy tech and mind-blowing graphics and, like, you know, artistic design, yes, but As long as, at least they've mentioned it. At least, you know, at least,
yeah,
you know,
at least we know it still exists.
Exactly. That's they're right. still thinking about it.
Yeah. Last week we talked about a game that Exceed dropped.
Yeah, we did.
This week we're going to talk about a game that Exceed is bringing over. They're bringing over Ragnarok Odyssey to North America. It's made by the same people that did Lunar and Grandia. So if you guys are if you guys know Game
Grandia
Arts,
was great.
That's the people that did that. And it's supposed to be kind of Monster Hunter PSO-ish. So
hey, maybe we'll
to
get a really cool like special edition that's not really a special edition.
That's
it's
a real
the
edition.
Regular edition. That would be a cool. Game Arts edition.
The Game Arts edition. There you go.
Working Designs edition.
Working, yeah, I like that one better.
Yeah, I kind of wish, I was kind of hoping that, you know, I can't remember who sent me a tweet, but I think it was Necro sent me a tweet and he said, oh, did you hear what the Working Designs guys are bringing for Vita to the US? And I was like, Working Designs guys.
Working Designs guys.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, so did Gaijin Works actually, you know, announce a game? And, you know, Gaijin Works is actually doing something right now for a change, but, yeah, so I looked it up and I didn't see it. And then, you know, I realized that he was talking about Ragnarok Odyssey and he thought that Working Designs had more to do with it than it actually did.
Gotcha.
But,
gotcha.
Yeah, but yeah, it's still the same guys that made Lunar and Grandia. So if you guys are into those, I would suggest checking it out. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Cool.
That's all I got.
All right.
Should we take a break?
I think we should.
Let's do that shit.
I can't wait to get on this topic.
I am excited. Jeff, I think you and I are going to be on the same page, and I think we're going to be in the minority on this one.
I think so, too. But we'll just have to talk some sense in a motherfucker.
That's right.
We'll have to run some shit on the people. That's what we need to do.
All right, guys. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about consoles being subsidized with contracts, and then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
It's time to wake up. We'll be right back.
And welcome back.
Oh, you welcome back.
Hey, welcome back, man.
Welcome back, man.
I'm from New York.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
I might cut that in post just because it embarrasses me.
Whatever.
All right, today we are talking about subsidized console sales. So the 360 came out Microsoft came out with some news that they're already on sale, going to have a $99 Xbox that comes with Kinect.
It's a deal right there.
Yeah, except you're paying $15 a month for 2 years.
Yep.
So we're gonna see how that works out and what people thought about that situation. So let's get started right with the emails and see what the listeners had to say. Travis,
hook us up.
Take it away.
All right, this comes from Sean of Rick Cupido. He says, this really comes down to how much of a premium you're paying for the subsidy. It also depends on what you get for the monthly payments. I would buy a subsidized console right now at the end of the current gen life cycles? Probably not. I don't even know if I'll be using my 360 in 2 years if the new one is backwards compatible. Besides, late in the console cycle, you can always find a good deal on the console. Also, I don't give a shit about Kinect, so it's not a very good deal for me.
Yeah,
If they come out with something like this new 360 bundle at the start of the next gen, I would seriously consider it. It would give me more money to spend on games up front, and after the 2 years are up on the console, it will still be relevant. It would also not make me feel so bad about spending so much money up front for something with very few launch games. If the subsidy included some kind of the extras with the monthly payment, I would consider it even more. For example, give the people who buy the subsidized version a discount on Netflix or something to give people more incentive to buy that version. If you're getting the same exact thing as the non-subsidized version, why bother unless you're broke? I somehow feel like Microsoft isn't doing this with the best of intentions. I get the feeling that the 720 will come out and people who buy this will feel screwed because they are locked into a monthly contract and the money saved could have paid for at least half the price of the 720. That's it.
Is that it?
Oh, okay.
I both agree and disagree with the last bit, basically. I think that like this is a total test market for Microsoft.
I agree.
They're just doing it to see how it works, and if it does work at all on any basis, I think it is a great idea, and I think Sony is going to be being like, thank you, Microsoft, for piloting this, because then they can do that for their next console as well. And he brought up one of the main points I was going to anyway. It was I think Microsoft's doing it too late in the life cycle to actually make like a huge difference, but he hit the nail on the head and said basically, it's a good way to like when you do it early, your console is still going to be relevant in like 2 years, and your contract's going to be up, and it's going to be not that big of a deal. You can just go ahead and pay for your Xbox Live subscription or whatever from that point on. It's not that big of an issue really.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that he pointed out that hits me is that in reality it is just a test phase. They're testing this out to see if it's going to work, you know, and they're using the Kinect bundle. They're using this $300 4-gig Kinect bundle to test it out and see if they can do it with the next Xbox.
Because yeah, exactly.
One thing I will say about this is just showing that development costs for the next system are really high.
Higher than they think they are.
So yeah. This is a situation where Microsoft's probably going to come out of the gate with this console is going to be $600 or $200 with a 3-year contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if they can hit that $199 mark, which is like the magic mark of any console. Like when PS2 got the first drop to $199, that's when or even 360 got to $199, that's when people saw like a big spike in sales, and the next big spike is at $99.99. So I think $99.99 with a subscription is a little bit much. But if you can launch a system at $199, that's gonna get so many more people to buy on day one or in the first couple months of the system than you would if you were just to launch like, here's our $499 console. Good luck.
Well, and the big deal with that too, you know, these game companies, especially at launches, their bottom line for the first 3 months of launch lives and dies not much less by the hardware sales, but
it's
the software and
it's
attach rate basically. Yeah. And doing that would just, I think it would open up it would open up people's wallets so much more to get some of that extra shit. Extra, you know, they're going to fork over more cabbage to get a couple more games or get another accessory, a second controller, things like that.
Yeah.
So that would be huge there. I would take this deal in a second.
I do think they should drop the Kinect and put in like a 150 gig hard drive instead. That's
agreed.
More appealing because a 4 gig hard drive is nothing.
Right.
These days.
Right.
It's
That's
literally
true.
Like nothing. That's something I'd be like, but this is really for those people that are like kind of on the fence. Oh, that's a pretty good deal. You know, I can afford $15 a month. You know, I'll drop $99 in this, whatever, and then buy a hard drive, whatever. But
now, go ahead. Finish
no,
up.
No, I was pretty much done.
Okay, so my question is these extra monthly payments, this subsidy, is Xbox Live included in that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that's
included.
It's
$15 and you get Xbox Live. So
that's that.
So
okay.
Here, and
which
I'm not going to, I think after I, you know, point this out, let's go into the next email because I have more that I want to say about this, but I want to wait until we get further into the emails.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the console they're selling plus 2 years of Xbox Live, it's $420.
Yep.
For the $99 console and 24 months of $15 a month, it's $460.
Yeah,
so it's $40 more if you do it this way than it is if you go out and buy the console and then spend $60 a month a year on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, let's move on to another email because
I
do
want to start there. Before moving on, I want to comment on one thing that he said. I was trying to remember what was the thing I didn't necessarily agree with at the end. The whole buying it up and like saving money. You're saving the extra money to buy more shit. That's in theory that always works. It's like telling somebody if you quit smoking, imagine how much money you would save. That's not necessarily true. If you're not spending money on something else, what I find anecdotal evidence, but from anyone who has quit something or like drop like a bad habit or decide like I'm not going to spend this much money on video games or going out to the movies whatever a month, that money goes somewhere else.
Yeah,
so
money.
It's like
when you get a raise, do you have extra money to put in the savings?
No, you just
goes somewhere.
Your way of living to do something different.
Just goes somewhere.
Exactly.
It's called inflation. That's the way shit works. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. But go ahead. New email.
It's been a while since I last wrote in, going through all the stuff that might be better suited to another podcast hosted by some people who sound suspiciously familiar, Winky Face. Anyway, says Zankthingun, I for one am all against subscription-based consoles. On a hypothetical basis that they'd become the only option available to buy any future consoles. Yes, they provide a lower barrier to entry, but you end up paying more in the long run. I'm pretty much the same when it comes to any electronic purchases. In that I prefer to put my money aside and wait until I can afford to buy it. That being said, as long as Microsoft, Sony, or whoever else don't make this the only way to buy consoles, then I have no problem with them offering it as an option. Just because it isn't for me doesn't mean I'm not appealing purchase options for others. I'd assume most retailers offer some form of monthly credit plan, so this really doesn't change too much. Except that Microsoft will be the ones pocketing the extra moolah. Until next time, keep up the good work, Michael Armand.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
100% agree. If they do it this way, this cannot be the only way.
The best way to compare this is to cell phones.
Exactly. And you can go get a smartphone.
Like $600?
Yeah, $600, $700.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most people don't do it that way. Most people go, like, I would never afford a smartphone if I had to pay $600 out of my pocket for the phone.
Right.
And then pay a premium, like, to get a data plan from a certain carrier, but not be locked in. Because the thing is, this is good because even if you have a cell phone, you still have to pay for a data plan or something like that, or else you're not going to get the use of a feature of the phone you bought.
Right.
And I think it's Microsoft being like, hey, well, video games are the same way. We're going to have the service. You can buy the hardware, but you still need to pay money for the service. So no matter what you do, it's going to come down to you pay a little bit more for the service over a certain amount of time. And you are, yes, in the long run, you're going to pay more money, the same as a cell phone. But if you want, if you pony up the money to buy it straight up, you're still going to have to pay for the Xbox Live service or whatever kind of service you want, but it's not going to be as much. So, yeah, it's cheaper to buy it in the long run straight up, the service, but more people are going to be able to – it's a much lower barrier to entry for launch consoles if they take on this what the fuck's the word I'm looking for here?
Subsidization.
Model?
Sure, model. There you
model,
go.
There
That's
you
good.
Go.
Model's a great one.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think that this is obviously a test bed for what they're going to do for the next generation of consoles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they can get the price down, people are going to jump. People are going to jump.
If they can hit the $199 mark on launch, like that's like Wii. That's cheaper. If they can hit the, if Sony and Microsoft, I'm not even going to assume if this is a success, Sony will do this. There's no, like we
talked about this. The biggest problem is that Sony doesn't really have anything to do this with. You know, it's like, what are you going to offer me 2 years of PS Plus? I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I think they could. I would not be surprised. I've been joking about this at work nonstop. I would not be surprised if PS Plus, you had to have that. I know Sony likes to stand on their, hey, free online to play, you don't have to pay for
gonna
it.
Change,
but
that's going to change, though.
That's going to change.
We've talked about this before. Like they're looking over Microsoft and being like, because they are getting destroyed in terms of profit and like revenue coming in just on Xbox Live alone. Mm-hmm. And they can put their, you know, their pride being like, online's free. But that's like that's the carrot in front of the horse's mouth. That's what really drives people to want that subscription. And if this works, it's not going to look as bad. They can throw in other stuff like, okay, I guess the PS Plus would be involved in that, obviously.
Right.
But, and also, they've probably learned a lot after this generation in regards to online. Like, look how much PSN has changed since the launch of PS3 to what it is now.
No doubt. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, are your chart? Well, the point is that if they're gonna start charging for online, they need to prove that they can be at least as good as Xbox Live.
That's true. That is true.
And I'm sorry. On an economic level, I think PS Plus is better than Xbox Live. I really do.
I'll agree with that. Well, you get a ton of free stuff.
Yeah, you get a ton of free stuff and a lot of discounts. Like that is 100% true. On an economic level, yeah, it's still the more money you put into it is the more money you're going to save.
Hell, I got what, 10, 20, 30, 35 bucks of free stuff this month?
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, it's definitely, they throw that on and plus do the online as part of it, because I really think they have to do the online as part of it, because it's like the attach rate for Xbox Live is humongous on 360. The PS Plus isn't as big. Like my PSN friends, I'd say maybe half of them, if that, have PS Plus subscriptions. But I think Sony, if they adapt this model, they have to put it to pay for online. And I think they will try to get. I mean, their online isn't terrible. They just need to. They need to make it outside. They need to make it something standard.
You know what? If they could do cross game chat and launching from within the game, like a simplified, like modular core system where you could just invite people to a game or launch a game from a party. You know, if they could do that, like the way Xbox does it, they'd be good to go.
And the only reason they can is because they didn't take that into account when they were developing the system. So it's not.
Basically
takes
true.
All those resources.
They said that was something you could do in PlayStation Home. I mean,
No. It's true because it takes.
How many games do that? Like 3?
It takes it from the RAM, the RAM that's already running on the OS. So the OS for PS3 doesn't take any of that stuff into account, whereas the OS for Xbox 360 does. So it's a segmented part of the RAM that uses all this. No matter what, it will never go above this. Whereas on PSN, it doesn't. That's what developers have said. They're like, well, we have to basically program all this ourselves, which takes more resources from the system. That's the big problem why they can't do these things. So if they can, you know, set aside, they'll be, okay, this is what our OS is going to run at. This is what it's going to take to run this, and this is going to be like embedded into the system. That's it. Just put aside. Boom, done. This is what developers have outside of this to use for RAM. You're good to go. And I think they'll do that next one. They're not going to make that mistake of segmenting the RAM the next generation. I don't think they will anyway.
Oh, no way.
That hurt
them
big time. For online stuff, not in terms of like games, stuff like that. Because they've proven that if you got your games and the right developers, the games look fucking awesome and play amazingly. It's just that the online might kind of be a little bit wonky in terms of like voice chat and party chats or whatever. But yeah. I'd any kind of thing like that I'm willing to pay for. Whether it's, you know, subsidized through a subscription service where I get the console cheaper or not, really. But I'm trying to think, $15, how much is Xbox Live? Is about $5 a month, right?
It's like, yeah,
if you get the 60, like if you get the 1 year.
If you get the 1 year, yeah.
The standard $5 a month, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, while you do that math, why don't you guys say hey to JG92?
Hey, JG92.
In this day and age, I really don't think I could get behind a console subscription service. That's an exclamation. Subscription service! I am only 19 years old and currently have no job, rely entirely on student loans, and still live at home. I have my phones. I missed that too, yeah. I have my phone's monthly contract, contact lenses, train passes, food, and the general buying of games
drug
that
problem.
Happens at least once a month. Hookers. Drug problem, yes, of course. then there have been a couple of times where I have, in fact, ran completely out of money. My bank account once read squiggly L 1.07 as a current balance. I had to borrow
to go,
just enough money from my parents to cover all my necessities and put gaming purchases to the back of the line while I waited for my next loan to come through. Mm-hmm. I really don't like the idea of getting a console on a pay month contract only to have it taken away if I run out of money. Yes, I need a job to help pay for shit, but Steam is to blame. They sell games for less than it costs for me to eat daily.
So, of course, you go and buy everything, because that makes sense.
Who needs food? I need my games.
I just don't think of this as a good idea, because knowing these big companies, they'll add stuff on, and you will, and your bill will go through the roof. Sorry if this seems vague. Kind of out of it right now. It's 2 a.m., and I've had a few beers. But thanks for reading. Love y'all, JG92. My question is, you didn't put beer in your list of things that you're paying for.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop buying beer.
My only question is, Jake,
get your parents to buy you beer. You live at home, so there you go.
Like a real adult.
This is where the thing comes down, though, Jake. It's like, this is where it comes down to someone like you. And we've all been there. I was the same way when I was like that age. It comes down to the new consoles get released. Let's just say both Microsoft and Sony release their consoles at $500. If you live in the way you are, you're not going to have that $500 plus money for games and online or whatever. That's why they're doing this. So you can pick up that console for $199 and just put away $15, whatever they're going to charge, you know, in the future for basically the subscription fee. And I don't know about you, but for me, at that age, when I was like working like maybe a part-time job and, you know, money was like tight, like, I mean, it's tight fucking now, but back then it was even worse. It was a lot easier to save up $15 a month than it was to save up $500 for anything.
Right.
It was like, yeah, it was a bitch and a half.
Yeah, I mean, when I was 19 in college, I had, I had a phone, I had a car payment, I had insurance payment, I had, you know, all that other stuff. I was still living at home, but I also did have a full-time job, so.
Yeah.
That's a big
thing.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, yeah.
It's hard, man. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, if especially if you're in college, man, when people joke about college kids being broke, they're not kidding.
Oh, God, no.
College kids
no.
are broke.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I was broke as hell. Yeah. So.
It sucks. But it's, you know, that's like, that's what the, it's given the option. Like, we talked about it with, can't remember whose email it was earlier, when Sean or Cupido, is the whole, as long as it's not the only way to go.
Right.
And that's the thing. You're going to have the people that are like, okay, you know what? I'm going to fork out this money, or the people that are like, you know what? In the two, I wouldn't even normally buy, like, I didn't buy a PS2 until 2 years into its life cycle. An Xbox into, it was a year into its life cycle. I bought a PS2 first. Yeah, PS2 was 2 years into its life cycle when I bought it. And just because I couldn't really afford one, I had like my Dreamcast and kind of stopped playing games for a bit. But to put that into perspective, the main problem was barrier entry was the cost of the console. But if I had an option to buy the console for like 50% of the cost or even less than that and $15 every month, I totally would have done it. And I think that's what they're going for. It's going for that whole like smartphone market where it's like, people, these are really, no one can afford this crap. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're just going to tie them into a contract where we're still providing a service that no matter what, the thing that cell phones have is, like we mentioned earlier, is they, no matter what, you have to pay them to get any kind of service that's a feature on your phone. It's a free thing. Like, they automatically offer it. Like, it's the air, like, to use 3G on your phone. They're not doing anything extra. It's not like they're like, you know, coming to your house or doing anything. They're just basically saying, activate, boom, done. You have access to our 3G network. It's free money to them, basically. And that's kind of what they're going to do. Like, subsidize like their hardware sales and or the difference in hardware for that. And you're going to be buying games, probably. So,
okay.
I don't know. I kind of wish they had that kind of thing when I was younger. But, and looking at it, really, like, when the new consoles launch, I'm kind of thinking right now, like, if they're going to do this, I don't know what I'd do right away. Like, if I had the money, in an ideal world, I'd rather just buy the console, like, the hardware flat out and pay a lot cheaper for Xbox Live or PSN or whatever. But who knows? 2 years from now, a year from now, if I'm kind of strapped for cash and being the tech whore that I am, like, if a Vita right now, you can get a Vita for, like, $99 and pay, like, $10 a month for whatever, I probably would have got one day one.
Oh, I would have easily gotten a 3G model if they offered it like that.
Like a $10 like thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, last email.
Yeah.
This one's written in by my one of my favorite people in the world. My hometown man,
Miss Travis.
Jay Hester, down in the Crescent City of New Orleans, saying, "Hey guys, in response to the question of the week, I think that yes, subsidized consoles and service contracts could be a viable point of entry for some gamers. But for a system 6.5 years into its life cycle, not so much.
Yeah.
When I bought my launch PS3, my wife nearly lost it. Up to that point, gaming was just a hobby, not a way of life. At an entry price of 600 clams, I would have had an easier time justifying a mistress. So if there was an option...
I would suggest not testing that theory.
So if there was an option back then to purchase a PS3 at a significant discount with a reasonable monthly service charge, I would have taken that route. Even if in the long run it costs $700 and the $4 extra a month spread over 2 years would have been totally worth it. Now with the 360 deal, I don't think this is worth the price of admission. We are obviously on the tail end of this generation, and I'm not confident that Microsoft will even still be supporting the 360 in 2 years. If prior history is any indication to how they handle legacy hardware. Later, gents, Jay Hest."
Thanks, Jay. That is the one thing that I definitely agree with as far as this goes. I think that I know this is a test bed, but this is definitely late in the life cycle to have it built the way have it.
Totally.
Now, if they would have said, like, hey, we're going to do the standard, like the 4 gig system without Kinect for $50, and we're going to let you have a $15 a month subscription for a year, that would be, I think that would work better. Because I think that would be more in line with where they are in their life cycle. I think that's an incredible market of entry. And, you know, when you think about it, you get $15 for a year and you're making up that $150 already, you know? So it really depends on how they handled it. But, you know, this thing is, I mean, Microsoft dropped the Xbox
I need to comment on that. That's not going to happen again. The Xbox series has already gone, what, 3 more years than the Xbox did?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, about three more years. 2 or 3.
And if they didn't cut it off, they would have never been successful. Because that's the big knock on... Well, it's been kind of like a knock on Sony for a bit, is that they need to cut off... Like, hey, third parties aren't going to cut off 360 because the install base is really, really big. They're not going to do it. It's going to be like... I don't want to... It doesn't have PS2 numbers, but it's so big that third-party companies are not going to drop it like that. The problem is if the first-party games don't do that, this goes for like Sony or anything, what's the incentive to buy the new consoles? There isn't really one. If they're going to be like, hey, we're still going to focus on this old console when the new one's being released. But the Xbox, in the same way, I look at it as a test bed for Microsoft hardware in the market. If they didn't cut that off, the 360 would not have been as successful as it is.
Oh, no, I definitely agree. I mean, they were losing money on the Xbox from the day it launched to the day it died.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying that they made a bad move with the Xbox. It's just that I guess it really depends on how you look at it. The next Xbox is probably not going to be out for at least another year and a half. So you're probably good. But, you know, it's still weird that it's so late in the life cycle and that it's a 2 year.
Exactly. You know, I agree. I totally agree with that. Like I mentioned earlier, like it's a little bit late in it. It's kind of like still like a test bed. But my thing is, I think you're safe. Like even if someone were to pick this up for like $99 and do the 2 years, it's going to be supported by third parties well after that, like the PS2 was and like in like the PS1 or anything like that. Like, I mean, the two PS like FIFA 12 came out on PS2. That just came out this year. Last year.
Wow, really?
That's crazy. Yeah. That's like insane. It's because third parties can still make money off it. Yeah. Of course, the Xbox wasn't going to be like that because it was like a hard cutoff. And the Xbox had terrible third party followership from the beginning. Like, not too many developers.
Wait, 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 wait.
So that, I'm that's not. Re- That's not going to happen
between the lines here, Jeff. I'm going to read between the lines here. So you're saying that the FIFA 12 made big bucks for the PlayStation 2?
No, because only
Spanish people play FIFA games, and that they can only afford PS2s?
That's not what I said.
Wow, Jeff.
I was just saying that it was
Jeff,
still released.
Jeff, it is 2012. Wake up.
Travis, you're so racist.
Madden
you make up shit in your head.
Wow, Jeff.
But no, I don't think... I think those people would still be getting kind of like late adoption. Like, they're not going to get the full support, but I think they'd still be safe from 2 years from now. 3 years, kind of a stretch, but two, okay. But yeah. But like you said, like all of a sudden, it's going to be a test bed to see how it works. And I think, if it's like even slightly successful, I think it's going to happen with not only Microsoft's next console, it's going to happen with Sony's as well. Because I'm pretty sure they're both sick and tired of, let's put these consoles out for a loss for the first 3 years and hope people buy games and accessories. This way they can be like, we're going to sell it at a loss.
This is a way to negate the risk of attach rate.
Yeah.
And I think
that's exactly
where you were going.
That's exactly where I was going.
If you do it this way, they are guaranteed money flow each month.
Exactly. Yep.
If they do it when, okay, we're going to sell it for a loss and we're going to make money on the games, that's not guaranteed.
No.
So this
not
is
at
a
all.
Way to mitigate that risk and actually get some cash flow each month.
Yeah, they know exactly how much they're going to make and how much they're going to do whatever. And because I think it's like proven, like, the first 2 years of a console's release is basically like the hardcore adopters. And then everyone else waits for that price drop. The $199 mark, and then there's the $149 mark, and then there's the $99 mark. The $99 mark and the $149 mark is where shit really takes off. It's going to let Sony and Microsoft hit that point way freaking earlier than they ever would. And I think that's better for everybody. Because it's going to increase the life cycle for every console, I think. Because they're going to sell more quickly, and it's going to get more third parties involved, and it's going to give more third parties more money. Because, like, okay, a game like Resistance, decent game. Insomniac said that their biggest problem with Resistance was it was a launch title, and no one bought it because not too many people bought consoles really early. Well, you put this model in place where a lot more people are going to be buying this day one or in the first year. Their game sales are likely going to go up because people are going to have more cash to spend on games, and that's better for the developers and the publishers. They don't have to wait for, all right, now we're going to put all of our money now into a big PS3 game, big 360 game, not until year four where the install base is X, because that install base is going to hit that point way quicker than it normally would, and they don't have to worry about spending too much money and having the game not sell. In theory, anyway.
No, I'm with you.
With you. It's, I don't know.
So we don't usually do this, but I wanted to do this for this particular
question,
particular topic, because there really hasn't been any specifics on cost, and I kind of want to make a point about that. So on the forums...
Points by Chris Riccio.
On the forums, Boric, who is who lives here in Atlanta, states, sounds terrible. And he's talking about the 360 deal. And it's not even a deal. And he says, I mean, I guess it's good if you can't save the money. Kind of like being ripped off by rent-to-own places. $99 console with Kinect plus 360... plus 360...
He's basically drawing the cost comparison, right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what he was typing out here. So it's a $99 console plus $15 for 24 months. And you get Xbox Live with that. And that's $460. Or you can buy the $300 console, which is the same console, and then it's, if you buy it for $60, it's $420. So it's a $40 difference. So unless they, and he says, unless they
bundle... Are they putting 2 years of Xbox Live on there? Or just
2 years of Xbox Live.
Okay, yeah.
Unless they bundled in something like Netflix streaming somehow, in which case, then they have quite a deal. So this is what I wanted to say about this, and this is the thing that people kind of overlook. There's 2 points that I want to make. The first point is, you not only get the Xbox Live for the 2 years, but you also do get a warranty for 2 years.
That's, okay, yeah.
So
it'd be like a cell phone.
Right. Basically, so you are also warranted for 2 years, but the cell phone, you have to buy that warranty on top of it.
So oh, do you really?
Here it's like for Sprint, it's like $8 a month. It's
$8
a month.
Holy shit.
For a smartphone, So to give you an idea, If you pay $99 and then $15 a month, it's $460. It's $40 more. The Sony extended warranty for 1 year is $45. So that makes up for it right there. Yeah. I don't know what I think Microsoft offers one too, but I don't know what the cost of it is. The other thing I will say is that this is a loan. Basically,
I was just going to say
you're,
that.
You're
I
getting
was
a
just
loan,
say that.
So you're buying a $99 console, and they are giving you a $320 loan. Yeah. All right, so it's basically that $320 loan. There's $40 of interest over 2 years. That's $20 a year. That's a that's like 11%.
Yeah.
How many credit
that's
cards?
Like, that's less than a credit card.
How many credit cards now have an 11% interest rate?
Yeah. Good luck with that.
You know. Yeah. Very much. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
so
like
this is
probably like.
This is not a bad deal. Now,
it's not. No.
I definitely agree that it can't be the only way to do things. You have to have the option to buy it straight
out.
But
which you can. I mean, that Sony and Microsoft would be dumb not to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt. And I'm sure that, you know, when these new consoles come out, if they end up coming out at like $800, you're damn right I'd be paying like $200 and like $20 a month for 2 years. Yeah. You are damn right I would do that shit. Because I don't care if I end up paying more in the end or not. I know that it's $20 a month. It's like, you know, you can you can go out and you can buy a car for whatever.
You can lease
like,
it. And
like 12, say you buy a car for $12,000 or you can, you know, get... You know, however much interest, then you end up paying 15 or something like that. I mean, it's just that's just the way of things. You're getting a loan. That's what
it's a
about.
Way of things. That should be the title.
The way of things.
The way of things. Title of this episode. Just the way of things.
That's the way of money management. The way of money laundering, money loaning. However you want
money
to think
laundering.
About it. Sure, why not? I'm sure there's some laundering going on.
Yeah, you're
there.
Definitely from New York.
But I mean, this is. I mean, I work for a loan, basically a loan shark company. That's what they are.
Yeah. Oh and wow, you're evil.
I work for like. Yeah, I'm going to leave
it
at
that. I know. You've talked about it before.
Yeah, interest rates are like 360%. I shit you not, 300% APR. It's ridiculous.
And you talk about my job.
Well, I never said that people I worked for were not better than yours, okay? So, but, you know, this is, it's basically a $320 loan, and you are paying $40 worth of interest, which is 11%. And they're giving you a warranty on top of it. So this is not
it's
a bad deal.
Bad.
It really isn't. If you don't have a 360 and this is looking tempting, it's not a bad deal.
Having fun buying that $120 hard drive, though.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. That is the one downer. And the other downer is it's really late in the console cycle. But at the same time, you can only buy this through Microsoft Store. So if you want this, you're actively looking for it. You're going to the Microsoft Store to like do this thing. It's not like being offered up by because you know it's basically it's a test bed. They're just testing out the market to see how it works. And I can guarantee you, it's going to happen for the next gen consoles for both Sony and both Microsoft because it just makes sense for them and for the consumers. And they'll offer up both because what are they going to do? They're going to be like we're not going to offer the option to buy out the hardware upright for how much it costs plus the subscription to our online service, which is just basically free money, or sell the hardware at a like very, very reduced cost and still charge the subscription. But even then, it's like we're still not going to make a profit on this hardware we're loaning out until after the first year's done or whatever. Of course, they can offer both. They would never, never limit it to that.
Absolutely. They would have
There's no way.
And you know what? It's like, you know, what you buy, it's going to be based on the situation that you're in at the time that the game, the system comes out. It's like, hell, I mean, I might be in a position where it makes sense to go out and pay however much it is, you know, for the console without this contract.
Exactly.
Sure, I can go on Amazon and I can buy 12 months of Xbox Live for $40 or $35 or something like that. But, you know, it's like you got to sit and wait for those deals to come up. So
exactly,
there's pros and cons to both, and it's really up to you to weigh it. And I don't think it's a situation where doing this like service plan deal is so bad of a deal that you shouldn't even consider it.
No, if they're going to be like it's $25 a month, $30 a month, then yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I would like to see them like maybe throw in an XBLA game or something like that, just like just for good measure. But you know, I think it's fine. I think it's a good deal. It's obviously it'll help people that have that barrier of entry of you know that upfront payment, you know?
Yep.
So, you know,
or
I'm down with it.
Sean said if you throw in like a Netflix thing, but that would be something to do. That would have nothing to do with Microsoft or Sony. That would have to come down to them making a deal. So.
Right, right.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually really surprised. I'm surprised there would be a lot of negative emails being like, yeah, fuck that bullshit.
But well, yeah, we got a couple of those posts on Retroids, so.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, I don't think it's something that I would do right now. I mean, like, if my Xbox were to die right now, I probably would not do this, but only because I already have, like, 2 years of Xbox Live on my account right now. So it would be a waste of money for me to do so.
It would be. You'd be paying $15 more.
So, honestly, if my Xbox died right now...
You should just be happy yours is still fucking alive.
Yeah, I can't believe it is. If my Xbox died tomorrow, I'd just go out and get one of the $200, you know, 4-gig console core systems. And I would just switch the...
The hard drives.
Yeah, I'd just switch the hard drive over.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm good. Travis, you have anything else before we move on?
I'm straight.
It's the way of the future. It makes sense. It's going to happen.
It does make sense.
Kudos. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise we're going to get consoles that are as expensive as, you know, PCs. I mean,
yep. Can you imagine if the PS3 launched at fucking, what did it launch at? $599?
Yep.
$599 if that came out with like it's $599 or it could be like $199 or $299 with let's say $199 with a 3-year plan, $299 with a 2-year plan, would have sold way more.
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
Way more.
100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, gents, let's do some new releases. What do you think?
Let's do
it. Yeah. Stuff coming out so I can play something and beat it.
Stuff is coming out next week. 360 and PS3 are getting Max Payne 3, Game of Thrones.
Looks cool.
I did not know that was coming out next week.
Oh, yep. It's going to be awesome.
I'm sure it is.
I can't fucking wait.
I'm sure it's going to be an awesome load of crap. and Battleship.
I want to see that movie.
Battleship, the movie.
No, you don't.
I want to see the movie.
Stop new releases. You do not want to see that movie.
Yeah, I do. The movie looks fun, man. It looks terrible, but it looks fun.
I want to see the movie too, Jeff. I'm with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Brofist.
It looks ridiculous.
Both of you guys. Horrible. You're going to... Ugh. Go.
Also coming out for PS3 and I believe 360 as well is Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2. Finally. Hasn't it been like over a year?
Like yeah, it has been. It's been it has been over a year.
Pixel Junk 4AM.
By the way, sorry to break it to you guys, but Atlanta Hawks just got eliminated from the playoffs. Just saying.
Oh, that's fine. Man. Sucks. Close.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really keep up with the lacrosse. I'm sorry.
I know.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse. God. You're so racist.
I know. Oh, what?
I know. What? What did you say?
How is that racist?
I don't know. You guys are just saying you don't watch basketball.
I don't watch basketball.
I know. You're a racist.
Yes, because I'm a racist. Pixel Junk 4AM. Dungeon Defenders is getting some new DLC next week, as is Asura's Wrath.
Is that Pixel Junk game, the move-only game?
Pixel Junk 4AM? I have no idea what this is, to be honest with you.
I think it is, and I think that's going to sell spectacularly.
Well, it was the beta was free for PS Plus, and I haven't even tried it yet.
I'm pretty sure it's the one that's move only, and that's gonna,
Let's see, for 360, anything else coming out? Oh, is my browser going to keep up with me? Dragon's Lair is coming out, and it's gonna use Kinect!
Dragon's Lair?
Dragon's Lair. That's right.
They pretty sure keep I played that on that my shit. Stove.
On your stove. My fridge had that game built in.
Yeah.
Jam Live Music Arcade. I'm gonna get to that last.
Because
hey, the Wii's getting Battleship, and so is the 3DS. How exciting is that?
Awesome.
All right, so for PC, we've got Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, Game of Thrones, Sonic the Hedgehog
Instead
4
of saying
Episode
city, you
2.
Said shitty.
Yeah, that's what I did. And Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Coming out next week. So that is your new release list. Pick of the week.
Max Payne.
Diablo 3, yo. Or Max Payne. Both look good. But Diablo, it's been fucking like 10 years in the making.
Diablo will have probably the longer legs.
Probably.
Depending on how good the multiplayer is on Max Payne.
Yeah, I gotta go with left click.
I'm pretty
the game,
sure no
so.
Matter how good the multiplayer is in Max Payne, I'm pretty sure Diablo 3 is going to have longer legs no matter what.
Yeah. Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm going with left click the game. I'm good with that.
There you go, Diablo 3.
Yep. All right,
no
let's
one
move on.
Left Lake better than Diablo.
We have an emails.
Or mine.
We have one. Jay Hess is coming back. He says, I said earlier in my email for question of the week that gaming had become a way of life after purchasing my launch PS3. Well, like with everything that lives.
So I found a mistress.
Well, like with everything that lives, there must come death. My beautiful backwards compatible PS3 has passed on from the agonizing yellow light of death.
Oh, that's
by
heartbreaking.
By far, I had more content for my PS3 than any system I'd ever owned. 70 disc-based games,
wow.
And 35 downloadables, 50 PS2 and PS1 games, and 60 Blu-rays, not to mention Hulu Plus and Netflix. That machine was my entertainment hub, and it was also the first place of gaming hardware to ever fail on me. To put a final stake through my heart, my last backup of outdated save data was corrupt.
Oh, fuck.
With modern consoles doing so many functions for more hours in the day than ever before, how can we cope with catastrophic failure? So the question of the week that I propose is, what is your process for saving data on your console? Habits, frequency, and horror stories. And he says he's simply using us in this podcast as a desperate ploy for some really, really cheap, a.k.a. free therapy.
Nice. Well, thank you for writing in, Jay, and thank you for the suggestion.
Thanks, Jay.
But I'm not sure if we can make a feature out of this. That's the only issue that I have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are some things that you guys do for,
it's a good thing, Chris, you said it's an issue you have, because me and Travis were totally down for it, but then Chris shot us down. So.
Yeah, I was like, Jay, let's do it. Let's write it down.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
What do you guys do with save games? How do you guys handle that stuff? Do you just leave it on your hard drive? I mean, do you back up? Or how do you guys do that?
I don't do anything with them. If one of my save game corrupts in like a big game, I just say, well, yeah, there goes my time with that game.
I'm not beating that one.
I wasn't gonna
beat it anyway. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Time to sell it back to EB Games.
I fucking hate you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have PS Plus, so if it's a game that I know is going to be a longer game, that's going to be a large save file, I'll use the cloud saving for the PS3.
Yeah, and the cool thing with PS Plus is, like, when you have PS Plus, you can set it to automatically upload. Like, boom, right there. Once you're done with playing it, it's uploaded.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Right. And, I mean, the 360 does that as well, so you've got that on there as well, so... I mean, that's my thought. As far as, like, other things, I mean, I actually...
Like systems being garbage?
I've actually backed up all of my, like, PS1 and PS2 memory cards on my hard drive.
Nerd.
On my PS3 hard drive. So, I did that. But that's only because who knows how long those are going to last. So.
Word.
Yeah, those are important, too, actually.
Cool. But thank you for the email. So, I guess, any other emails that we can go to?
No, I'm empty. I got nothing else.
Jeff?
You're empty? Yeah, well, I don't have any emails, but I do have some Indus questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
I do got a couple. And by a couple, I literally mean a couple. We got two. We got the first one from Navishin, our good buddy. He says, with Bioshock Infinite being delayed until 2013, does that mean Mass Effect 3 is a shoe-in for Game of the Year everywhere except games Giant Bomb?
Not for me.
Not anymore, apparently.
I'd say not for me either, even if I do beat it, but
right now Mass Effect is mine, but it's only May.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and there's other good games coming out this year, so
Darksiders
too. I'm not saying it's automatic at all, because I loved Darksiders so much that if they had fixed just a few of the problems that Darksiders 1 had, then it's got a very good chance of rivaling Mass Effect 3 for Game of the Year.
That's for us, but he's saying in general, though, is a shoe-in for Game of the Year everywhere except Giant Bomb. Because I know Giant Bomb wasn't too... They really liked Mass Effect 3, but they weren't like, it's the fucking, be-all, end-all of that series.
See, I think it's going to be all over the place, because, I mean...
Because there's no Skyrim. Last year was like that was like the big one. This year I'm trying to think of like maybe it is, because I can't think of anything that's like, because as good as Call of Duty is, Halo.
I don't think Halo.
Halo never
be game
unless
of the year.
Halo was really really spectacular. Like Halo hasn't won a Game of the Year award like unanimously since like one. So yeah. I don't know about that one either. Like,
it's hard to say. I mean,
oh, maybe that Team Eco game. Oh,
oh yeah, the vaporware game.
No, that ain't happening. like I can't think of a thing. Like, what's a maybe? Because Rockstar, if Max Payne does turn out to be really, really good, maybe that has a chance. I mean, it is Rockstar. You can't, you know, you can't throw it out the window just because it's like Max Payne. But Rockstar's doing this one.
Yeah,
I could. That might have a chance. Diablo 3, maybe. If that maybe. Turns out to be really, really awesome.
Diablo 3, yeah, it could be.
Dragon's Dogma.
Hey, that game's gonna be hot. Just because you don't like swords and shields doesn't mean
love swords and shields when it's done right. And Zelda. No, I can't even say Zelda. I don't even know why I said that. That didn't even make sense.
Is there a Zelda game? No. I mean, I know what Jeff's game of the year is going to be. It's, I mean, nothing, might, well, nothing's going to be Kid Icarus in Jeff's eyes.
Oh, well, that's the best game I've played in years, man. The controls in that game are fucking spectacular.
It's like, so good, oh, he doesn't want it to end.
Like, no, no. That's why I've taken so long to play it again, because I'm like, oh my god, I know if I pick this up, I'm not going to be able to put it down until my hand cramps.
Yeah, he won't be able to put it down. He's going to throw the shit across the room. That's why.
No, I literally won't be able to throw it or put it down, because my hand's going to be this weird fucking claw
thing. It's going
to
lock up.
Next time he plays it.
What's wrong with you? You go retarded? No, I played Kid Icarus for about half an hour.
Next time he plays it is when the carpal tunnel sits in.
Yeah, exactly. My gaming career's over. No, maybe it is.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't say it's a shoe-in, but I think it's definitely going to be.
It'll be on a lot of people's
list. A lot
list.
Of them. Yeah, that's for sure. Jeff BTW.
What's up?
Jeff Wildman. He says, who's a bigger hipster? Those who hate anyone who only played Final Fantasy VII or newer, or those who hate consoles for not being a PC?
Who's a bigger hipster?
Who's the bigger hipster? Yeah. I like this question.
Gotta say the Final Fantasy folks.
Oh, man.
But the thing is, I'm that way with Final Fantasy VI, though. That's the problem. See, I can smell my own.
But I was going to jump in and be like, I agree. But it's like, I'm not even a big Final Fantasy dude, but that's the one that defined my Final Fantasy era.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that's a hard one. If it was like 4 years ago, I would say definitely the consoles for not being a PC, but now... I think it might be the Final Fantasy VII or newer. The who hate anyone who's only played that one or newer. I think the console, the PC snobbery is kind of. I think the line's gotten a lot. Yeah, it's the line's gotten a lot thinner.
Yeah.
Whereas I still think it's like, you know, you talk to people like, I played Final Fantasy when it was good, and exactly what we just said. It's basically yeah. six or yeah.
So let's all agree the Final Fantasy thing is the worst.
Yeah, I think I have to now.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Oh shit,
that's the end of questions. For
that's
this
it.
Week. All right, cool. Let's do question of the week and get out of here.
Let's do a fun one.
All right, so this was one of the suggestions in our Question of the Week suggestions thread, which is on retroize.com. And this one comes from Vitamin Amy, and her original thought was, how do you feel about playing games on higher difficulties? Do you do it for the challenge, bragging rights, achievements, etc., or do you prefer to play on whatever feels comfortable so that you can enjoy the game without worrying about dying and such? So here is the way we're going to do this. What difficulty do you tend to play your games on, and why? And just like she said, is it because you want to just sit down and play a game? Is it because you're achievement whoring? I mean, we know why Vitamin Amy plays them on hard, because she's achievement whoring like
achievement
crazy.
Achievement whore, so. Exactly.
But so, what is your motivation to play a game on the difficulty that you played on? So, to answer that question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not lead, it's feet.
Smelly. Oh, God, you missed it again.
Well, not quite. I was going to say fucking, never mind.
Yeah, that. Okay.
Blistery, that's what I was going to say if I'm walking around so much. Blistery feet.
Blistery yeah. feet, nice. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Okay. Geoff. I was leaning on my face like I didn't like feet very well. I can't even blame Twitter for that one.
All right. Facebook, Steam, and Google Plus. Just search for Interactive Distractions, and you will find us. And also, stop by Retroids.com and check out our forums on there. It's a great little place to meet new gamers. And you know, if you have a game that you want to play online with people, I'm sure there's someone over there that's playing it. So come by and hang out. And that is all I've got. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just bought Quest for Glory, the entire collection, one through five.
On what? Good old games?
Good old games, $10, man. Just all stone cold buy it.
The remake, awesome. The remix ones?
All the remakes, everything, one through five.
Nice.
That's pretty hot.
Those are good games. Hell never yeah, beat one, but they're good.
They're better than,
Jeff, what have you beaten?
Shut the fuck up.
This guy.
I don't even think I beat the Street Fighter Cross Tekken arcade mode.
Oh, oh crap. All right. So before we go, Indus Fest planning is in full swing.
I want you guys to know
that we actually have a few things worked out. We will have more details on that in the coming weeks, but do remember that it is going to be October 12th and 13th.
Yes.
And we will be doing a live show on that Thursday, which is the 11th.
And I do want to say, without saying too much shit and whatever, but if you're thinking about not coming to this one and coming to maybe one next year, you might want to come to this one instead. Just saying. You might want to... This year might... Just yeah. Not, that sounds
we're not
bad.
Saying
that,
anything.
Now it sounds like,
I mean,
now it sounds like it's like going to be like this crazy, ridiculous thing, which it's not. It's going to be in this fest. But let's put it this way. We're planning this one. If you guys can make it this year, that's freaking awesome and amazing. And yeah, we'll see what happens. You can cut this out, Chris, because that may not make any sense right now.
I'm not cutting this out. Are you kidding me? The other thing I wanted to mention is that the Indus app is in full swing.
Nice.
It is.
I've been
gorgeous.
You know, I kind of hinted at it a little bit.
Only
back.
For Zune phones.
Yes, that's right. Zune
or
phones.
My Windows phones.
I hinted at it a couple weeks back, and the reason I only hinted was because I wanted to make sure that I could actually build a product. Right now, I've got quite a bit of it working. It's been pretty easy to get it up and running. So hopefully, within the next week or so, I'm going to be on Retroids looking for people to beta test the APK, and we'll be getting that done too. So
if you get it free, if you buy a copy of Starhawk. So
actually, it's free, but there's a $15 a month subscription fee.
Actually, oddly enough, you do get a 30-day free PlayStation Plus subscription with Starhawk, actually, ironically.
That's funny.
But yeah, so those of you that have Android phones, keep an eye out on Retroids, and I'm going to be asking for beta testers pretty soon, so keep that in mind as well. But that is all I've got, so... Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please tell a few friends about us. Go ahead.
I'm not going to tell any friends about us, though. They already know.
Well, I wouldn't curse my friends with this show anyway, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but you should. You should. Listeners, curse your friends with this show.
Yes.
So if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that as well. And that is all I've got. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I am Travis.
And I am Jeff.
And you should play your games.
You should.
And talk to us next week.
Yeah.
And you should tell us what difficulty you play them on.
Yeah.
And why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out of here.